Since the dawn of the 21st century, scientific discovery has rushed forward at lightning speed. Genetics, physics, computerized technology, robotics, virtual reality. Join Derek and Sharon Gilbert as they uncover the truths behind this ultimate scientific deception. Get ready for Sci Friday.
Phone is spying on you. It is time for Sci Friday from Skywatch TV. Welcome. I'm Derek Gilbert. Joining us, as always, our science advisor and my best friend, my co-author of the book Veneration and the author of The Red Wing Saga, Sharon K. Gilbert.
Hi, sweetie pie. Phone's spying on us.
Yes, they are.
No.
We've talked about this before, and we will dive a little deeper into it again. We talked before about surveillance capitalism. But this goes even a level beyond surveillance capitalism. We have talked on Sci Friday, on Skywatch TV, about the social credit scores that the Chinese government is using to keep tabs on its people and to keep them in line.
Oh, gosh, yes. Control them through you liked the wrong thing. You didn't like the right thing.
You didn't pay your parking ticket. We caught you jaywalking.
Yep.
You didn't social distance during the pandemic.
You're eating in the wrong store.
Yeah. So things like that, which are used to penalize people in China for not adhering to social norms or whatever the government says they want you to do. We here in the West have kind of looked at the Chinese and say, oh, well, that's awful. That's terrible. That's horrible. Oh, we hope that never comes here. Well, the truth is it's already here. We just don't know about it.
It's been here for a while. It's just been that now we volunteer to be spied on.
Right, right. This is social media.
Who needs a FISA court?
Well, yeah, exactly. We have volunteered the information. I mean, the CIA, back after World War II, after when it was newly created, dreamed of a day when they could get all of this information from us. And we are volunteering it through social media.
But the CIA, through NQTEL, helped to establish Facebook.
Yes, and other social media tools and tools for analyzing social media that are financed by elements within the intelligence community. But by making it fun, by and not just through social media, but just through things that we do with our phones that we find useful or entertaining or convenient. We are giving up more information about ourselves than we realize. And without our knowledge, there are companies out there that are generating secret surveillance scores, what's being described by one analyst as a digital mugshot.
If you want to get a job, if you want to get into college, if you want to get a raise, if you want not to be arrested.
If you want to rent an apartment, you want to buy a car, these scores.
Buy a house?
Yes, these scores.
Or just rent a house.
Well, exactly, exactly. These scores are being used by companies, by potential employers, by credit companies to take a look at us, to find out more about us than we will normally reveal on an application for a credit card or for a new car or for an apartment.
And lest we forget, it's not always a human that's analyzing this information. In fact, most of the time, it's an algorithm that's analyzing the information. There was just a story that came out today claiming that AIs, as they're represented in science fiction, are far too white. Well, I will say this, that algorithms have shown bias.
Yes, yes. I think the most notorious example was Microsoft's AI, whose name I forget now, but they put her up on a social, one of the social media platforms,
Cortana?
Twitter. No, Cortana is the digital assistant, but Microsoft had a...
oh, that's right. They had, I remember that.
Yeah, an AI, and I forget the name of the AI, but anyway, people were asked to interact with this AI, and they figured out pretty quickly that they could provoke certain responses by feeding her certain tweets, and like the black box that the neural networks are contained inside, researchers find that when you put in certain types of data, you get certain responses. And they found that this AI that Microsoft put out there was very quickly spitting out very racist tweets And so it was pulled offline after a very short period of time, less than 2 days, I think.
Well,
but these
let me just say this. This is really interesting because it gets into the idea of your social credit score. Because if you are hacked and you're not aware of it, because some people have social media accounts that they just don't use. They set them up, but they really don't use them. If that gets compromised and you're unaware of it, then an algorithm could be posting all sorts of things that make you appear to be something that you are not.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very dangerous thing. In fact, something similar to that just recently occurred to a student, and I'm not going to name the university because I don't want to embarrass anyone, but a student was kicked out of the college because of what the university administrators thought was a series of racist posts to social media. And it turned out that someone else had taken them from another account and photoshopped them into her account, this young lady's account, and then presented it to school administrators. And
so, it would have been pretty easy to check that out.
Well, you'd think so. The school did not do its due diligence in checking it out. They just immediately knee-jerk reacted, oh, well, this is unacceptable, and she was kicked out of school. That kind of thing kind of illustrates the potential consequences of having your social media score, the consequences of these surveillance scores being gamed by an AI. Or simply confusing your identity with someone else's.
Oh, yeah, easy to do.
Or someone stealing your identity to deliberately sabotage your surveillance score. There are companies out there, one called CoreLogic, another called TransUnion, another called HireVue, V-U-E. HireVue sends basically calculates employability scores based on what they find.
Hire as in H-I-R-E.
Yes, right. Yeah, clever little pun there.
Yeah.
But again, this information is not coming strictly from social media. It's also coming from things like facial expressions in your photos, voice intonations captured from your phone's microphone during your conversations. And, even retailers are using a company called Retail Equation to look at the risk scores to determine whether consumers returning items for refund are committing fraud. Now, people who've worked retail a long time know that...
And then they stole it?
Or bought it at a discount and want to return it for full price, things like that. I mean, anyone who's worked retail for any length of time knows that that goes on.
Yeah, but that's why you ask for a receipt.
Exactly. But this is the kind of thing that is the kind of information that's being collected without our knowledge. But the idea that landlords are using information like your voice intonation and facial expression to determine whether you're trustworthy enough to rent to is kind of frightening. I mean, this is really Orwellian.
I think we're going to see more and more problems with that rental thing because right now there are a lot of folks who can't pay their mortgage or their rent because they don't have a job.
Right. Yeah. We just saw the moratorium on evictions end last week as this week Congress and the White House, Republicans and Democrats, are still fighting over the next package of help to landlords and to tenants.
But, yes. But imagine if you are a landlord and you have a tenant who has said, look, I've lost my job. I cannot pay my rent. And in most cases, honestly, when someone says that, I'm sure it's true. But then you happen to get a notification from the online scraping service that you use. And they say, we've come across a few things that you might want to know. You've got a couple of renters who are posting shopping trips that they're taking and a vacation that they're planning to take. And we're just letting you know that you might want to look into this. Be aware of what you post online. A classic example from several years ago, there was a series of young men who were posting pictures of themselves with money and guns.
Yeah.
Like that was the cool thing to do.
Still goes on.
Expect to be arrested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Where'd you get all those $100 bills?
Exactly. That doesn't look like legitimate. And of course, the whole idea that cash is that only criminals, that only criminals use cash anyway, is going to gain traction as we find.
As we move to the digital reality.
Yes. Yes.
That's
central banks.
That's a strange word.
Yeah.
Digital reality.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the same kind of oxymoron, like universities pushing diversity.
You
said that this morning. I was like,
well, exactly. It hit me this morning. You were talking about diversity training at universities. And of course, I went through it too, even in the 90s. I had to go to a meeting once a week, and we were drilled on the new diversity rules.
Yeah.
This was in my dorm, so I couldn't get out of it. I knew the gal on our floor, and she and I were good friends, so she understood that I was just going to sit there and nod my head.
Mm-hmm. I have to do this because
get out of there. Because she took role. You had to be there.
It's ironic that diversity is being pushed by universities.
Yeah. So you're going to start calling yourself Indiana Diversity now?
Probably. Watch for that to happen. I'm not going to rabbit trail. We could spend a whole hour just on
the real
motivation behind modern. Postmodern philosophy.
Talk about the real motivation behind the digital capitalism that we're seeing and the move to a digital reality, because it's more than just we want to make money on you. It's more than just we want to make sure that we can, if we're going to rent a house, that we are going to get paid for it.
Right.
It's about control.
It is. Central bank digital currency, or CBDC, is a big deal. There are a couple of groups out there that are really pushing for this. One is led by the Bank of England and the European Central Bank. They've got a number of other smaller central banks that are working together to try to come up with their own CBDC. I think they've realized that cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ethereum and the potential digital currency from Facebook. They launched their Libra initiative last year. It was supposed to have been launched in March of this year, but it has been put on hold, I think because Mark Zuckerberg was called into a private meeting and said, Zuck, let's have a chat.
He was.
Because Facebook's got 1.6 billion users around the world. If Facebook actually manages to launch Libra, and they've got some pretty big financial players involved in this. Visa, MasterCard, PayPal, right. They become their own bank. Outside the control of the central bankers, and that they cannot allow. Now, I was wondering why the Federal Reserve Bank was not part of this movement, or not part of this group with the ECB and the BOE, but the Federal Reserve Bank has its own initiative called FedNow, which it's working toward. FedNow is, and with the Bank of England, they're basically both pursuing what they're calling real-time gross settlements, or RTGS, real-time gross settlements. The one drawback of a digital currency like Bitcoin, where it's a distributed ledger, meaning that the users, wherever they are in the world, their computers are what calculate the little crypto numbers or whatever and calculate and make sure that all the transactions are. But that takes time because you're dealing with home computers spread all over the world.
So it's slow.
Real-time gross settlements would allow for large transactions of the type you see taking place on the New York Stock Exchange, other markets, commodity exchanges around the world, and for settlements to happen in real time while still using this type of digital currency. So that's what they're working toward, and they're bringing in private sector tech companies, financial tech companies, to try to make this happen. FedNow is looking to launch in 2022 or 2023. The Bank of England's RTGS, they're looking to launch in 2025.
Well, we need to take a break, but when we come back, I want to continue talking about this because I didn't think that the Federal Reserve was actually part of our government.
It isn't, and that's kind of the point here. Sci Friday continues after this.
unveiling the ancient realms of demonic kings and Satan's battle plan for Armageddon. Skywatch TV is proud to announce two new special offers, the Veneration Collection with optional Red Wing Saga series. So don't delay. Order the Veneration Collection with optional Red Wing Saga series now. Available at SkywatchTVStore.com or call 1-844-750-4985.
COVID-19 has changed everything. Because of the coronavirus, we can't bring the sold-out Defender Conference to Branson this year. So we decided, if we can't bring the conference to Branson, we'll bring it to you instead. Skywatch TV's 2020 Defender Conference is going virtual. If you thought you were going to miss out because you couldn't travel to Branson this year, or because the conference sold out too quickly, now see and hear world-class speakers, cutting-edge presentations in the comfort of your own home. And to make it better, we're adding new speakers like Steve Quayle and New York Times best-selling author Joel Richardson. And don't miss what Tom Horn says will be his last conference presentation ever. Plus, we'll add all of the presentations from the 2019 Defender Conference, so you're getting two conferences for the price of one. Sign up now, Skywatch TV's 2020 Defender Conference. Virtual, but bigger than ever. It goes live August 27th, 2020. For information and registration, log on to DefenderConference.com. That's DefenderConference.com. Here are the upcoming conferences and events featuring the team from Skywatch TV. For a full list and complete information, log on to SkywatchTV.com/schedule or download the free Skywatch TV mobile app for iOS, Android, and Amazon Kindle Fire tablets.
Welcome back to Sci Friday from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. I want to thank you again. I just went through the warehouse and I noticed that the deal is still going out, the big veneration package that people have been kind enough to order. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I know it's $100, but hey, guess what? Even if you've already got some of the books or all of the books, Christmas is coming.
That's true.
And you've got Christmas gifts right there, and nearly all of the proceeds from that package go to Whispering Ponies Ranch.
Right.
And you get all of these books, plus you get Veneration, and you get the Wars of the Gods DVD 2, and you get Immortality in the Unseen World. Great, great book.
That, yep.
In fact, I would say stock up on these orders, and you've got all sorts of Christmas presents mm-hmm. that you can give away.
And just as a reminder, we are the publishers of Sharon's Red Wing Saga novels, and my forthcoming novel as well, which will be out in the fall.
That's coming very, very soon. And by the way, yep. we have another book that we've written together. It's follow-up to Veneration that is going to be really, really interesting. And I know you're going to want a copy of it. And that will probably be part of a Christmas package that has lots of the books in it, too. So we'll see what Tom wants to put together.
Absolutely. And so back to financial services and this digital reality.
The Federal Reserve is not actually part of the government.
No.
My understanding is that they give the government permission to print money.
The Federal Reserve,
isn't that funny?
It is. The Federal Reserve has a charter from the United States government, and the president of the United States does appoint the chair of the Federal Reserve Bank.
Yeah.
It is a network of a dozen regional banks. There's a Federal Reserve branch in St. Louis, one in Dallas, mm-hmm. and one in Minneapolis, the New York Fed. Often the governor there moves up to become the chair of the Fed, but it is a privately owned concern.
That's
it is not part of the federal
point.
Government.
It's private. So
right.
if they're going to take over providing, money mm-hmm. to the U.S., don't they need to be part of the government to do that?
Well, that's a question that constitutionalists have been asking for quite a long time. There was a Bank of the United States back in the 19th century. Andrew Jackson famously had his struggles with the Bank of the United States. They let that charter expire. The Federal Reserve Bank was chartered again after 1913, the famous meeting on Jekyll Island.
Yes, The Creature from Jekyll Island
right.
is a book that you wrote.
Yeah, G. Edward Griffin.
Yeah.
That was founded ostensibly to prevent the types of economic swings that took place in the 19th century here in the United States. We'd go from boom to bust and boom to bust. It was intended to be the lender of last resort for commercial banks for and banks that dealt with the public so that we wouldn't have the bank runs like the one depicted in A Wonderful Life.
Oh, yes,
Jimmy Stewart.
Yes, yeah,
the building and loan.
Yeah.
Yeah, the building and loan where people were, and they had $1 left and they were so happy because they had enough cash to hand out. Well, that was the purpose of the Federal Reserve originally, but now it has become an active participant in manipulating the markets.
And I'm glad you put it that way, manipulating the markets.
Right.
Because that's going on. The problem, and getting back to algorithms, is that it's algorithms now doing it.
Right. Right. And since they are now investing directly in the markets, they are picking winners and losers in the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's no more...
Wouldn't that be insider trading?
Well, technically, insider trading is if they know that a certain company is about to make a certain discovery or has got some problems
but
no one else knows about, and they trade based on that information.
Yes, I know, but if you're actually manipulating the market and you know that you're doing A, therefore you can also do B that is dependent upon A and make a lot of money with B.
Well, yeah, it's really a gray area. But yeah, it makes sure that there's a certain class of investor who is protected while the rest of us are kind of left fending for ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think that there's no greater illustration than this, just looking at the way the stock market, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, has rebounded from its collapse when the pandemic restrictions hit and the economy was shut down. Look at the way the market has rebounded compared to the number of people who are on unemployment right
now.
I know. And people who are not paying the rent.
It's divorced from reality.
It truly is. Wall Street has no connection to Main Street anymore, and the involvement of the central banks in the markets, and it's not just here in the United States, it happens all over the world. Japanese Central Bank has been doing it in their market for a while, the Nikkei Index, very much affected by the Chinese doing the same thing with their markets to try to pump up their, you know, the companies that have, you know, connections mm-hmm. to government. So this goes on all over the place. But what the central bankers don't want is for something like Bitcoin or Ethereum to... Or any of the other cryptocurrencies that are out there to gain a large following. And I think that's why Libra has been put on hold, because Facebook and then MasterCard, Visa and others, PayPal, had gotten together, were ready to launch this, they said.
Yeah.
And it's been put on hold. Now they're saying maybe October of this year. But I think there's talking going on in you know, closed offices that will make Facebook part of this central bank mm-hmm. effort to roll out a digital currency. And the whole point is that this gets into what you've been researching, connected to the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset that they're proposing. It was announced in June. They're going to really lay out the details at their mm-hmm. meeting coming up in January.
Yes.
And a digital currency is part of this Great Reset.
Look, 2020 has been a year that honestly changed everything. If you really follow the news, and I know many of you do, we're being told again and again and again in the headlines is, this is the new normal. Get used to it. In order to survive in the new normal, small businesses are either borrowing a lot of money that theoretically they won't have to pay if they play ball, follow the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And the rules, I suppose, could change depending on... But also, we have an entire population of people that are now completely hoping and praying for a universal basic income.
Right.
Again, there's that word universal again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
University, universal, diversity, diverse. It's almost like we are living in a world that is a constant dichotomy. There are two realities at any given time,
mm-hmm.
and we're supposed to somehow make sense of it.
Well, that comes back to what I started, the trail down which I had started and backed up from before the break.
The bunny trail?
Yeah, the bunny trail. Yeah, we might as well go there now briefly. And that is postmodern thought, which is really at the heart of a lot of the chaos that we're seeing on the streets right now. And what is being taught to kids in diversities across the world. the idea that there is no absolute truth, we cannot know everybody's truth, you know, lived experience trumps objective reality.
2 + 2 does not equal 4.
Right, right. I mean, there are actually academics out there who would argue that the process by which we conclude that 2 + 2 always equals 4 is somehow inherently racist, heteronormative, patriarchal, etc., that the process is the problem, and that when we deconstruct the process, we have to reject the process because it was arrived at by
someone else.
Someone else. And so there are other possible answers for 2 + 2 other than 4. Essentially, it's not trying to arrive at a new truth. It's trying to deconstruct our reality altogether, to create chaos.
To quote Scotty, I cannot change the laws of physics, sir.
Yeah, but they would argue that you can.
Yeah, well, good luck with that.
As we I think
we
mentioned,
jump off a building, you're going to fall.
We've told that story before. We won't name names, but a friend of ours who's a physicist tells the story about how a young man in class rejected Newton's law of gravity because
it was a white man's law.
A white man's law. And our friend invited the young man up to the roof of the building to test it, for which he had to go through diversity training.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
the whole point of this, though, is not to say we've got a better way of calculating the answers. It's to say there is no way to calculate. It is about creating chaos.
It is, and I'm glad you use the word chaos, because in the last couple of minutes, let's just discuss why everything has to be erased. It's order out of chaos.
Right. But the funny part of this is, the ironic part, is those who are pushing for chaos so they can create a new order don't realize that the principalities and powers behind the scenes don't want a new order. They just want chaos.
Yes.
They want chaos out of chaos.
Yes, but within that chaos, a man will arise.
Yes.
And he will say, I can fix all of this.
Right. He will promise the order, but he won't deliver it for a couple of reasons. First of all, he never intends to. But secondly,
no.
God will not allow it.
Right. Right. That is so true.
Yeah.
Praise God. So bottom line is, if you've got a phone in your pocket, understand that even though it's convenient, it's great to be able to take pictures. Occasionally, you might even make a phone call on it. But no matter what, understand, you are being spied upon.
Yeah.
At the very least, algorithms are following everything you do.
I mean, even down to tracking your movements in real time and determining whether or not you're getting from point A to point B in faster than allowed by the posted speed limit.
But understand also that as a believer in Christ, he promised that he would be with us always, even until the end of the world. So, because we haven't reached the end of the world yet, he is here. The good news is that at the end of the world, he actually comes back physically on the earth. So, lo, he is with us always.
Yes.
Just always.
And
that
order that he established and called good at the beginning will be reestablished. And I think that conflict between what he established and those who rebelled against his authority, the reason we see the chaos today as they try to create their own reality. But there is objective truth in this universe, and the capital T truth is Jesus Christ, the
Amen.
Way, the truth, and the life.
Amen to that.
Thank you for watching, and we pray you have a blessed weekend. This is Cy Friday from SkyWatch TV.